Blog Talk Radio.
January 30th, 2020, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Thursday to you. Happy Thursday, everybody. I hope you're having a marvelous day already. I'm thinking, here it is already the end of January. You thinking that too? Where did the days go? Seemed like they just went way too fast, but here we are. I'm wondering, did you guys make resolutions? I know I made a few, and I'm sticking with them, too. How's that going for you? You staying on task? Staying on course? Sticking to the plan? I sure hope so. It may not be easy, but you know what they say. Nobody said it would be easy. They said it would be worth it. How about that? I agree. My guest today can tell you that is for sure. She is living her best healthy life after losing over 100 pounds and beating diabetes, and she is going to talk to us today about her journey to optimal health. Karen Scott is a motivational speaker, a life and keto coach who's on a mission to bring the message of how all of us can eat well to live and aspire to live well every day. Yes, it's going to be a great conversation. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have you on board today. Excited about this conversation. You certainly have a very inspiring story, and I want people to hear about it. I love talking to interesting people, and we met on the internet. We were actually Facebook friends, and I saw been seeing your post for quite some time and really felt very led to get you on the air to talk to people about three very important things. The diabetes, for one thing, and weight loss, for another, eating and living well. And those are things that you have been very intentional about. So I want people to hear your story. Why don't we start by telling them a little bit about your professional background currently, your things you're doing as far as your career.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Silver Ray Fox. It is really a pleasure to be able to have your platform to get this message across to people in reference to weight loss and living a healthy life. So my background is project management. However, currently I am full-time as a keto coach now. I have a group on Facebook called the Keto Flab Killers with over 1,000 members, and I pretty much coach them daily on the benefits of utilizing keto as a tool to get their weight loss down and to get healthy. So that's what I'm doing right now, and I launched the website ketocoachkaren.com to also reach other people across the universe, actually, that need the same information.
Yes, yes, for sure. Well, again, that's why I wanted to talk to you. You've done something pretty amazing. You told me that to date you've lost 107 pounds. That was the other day. You might be down another pound or two since then. But what I'd like to share with people, let us start talking about where were you at your highest weight. Can you share that with us?
Yes. Yeah, so I'll give you just a little background. So I initially, most of my life up until I was around 22, I was height and weight proportionate. So my weight was about 150. I'm 5'7". So 150 was pretty much what they, when I say they, I mean the doctors and the charts want you to be at as far as weight and height is concerned. So when I got pregnant with my son in 91, I went from 150 to 220. So I gained 70 pounds in 9 months. And I went from a, like a size 9, 10 to a size 18. So over the course of 28 years, I ballooned from 220 to 275. So at my highest, I was 275 pounds. In 2018, I met a gentleman, Tim Scott. He had went on a journey and lost over 100 pounds. And I asked him what he did to lose the weight, and he said he did keto. Well, at that time, I was not familiar with keto, and that was November 2018. And so I told him, I said, well, I'm going to eat for Thanksgiving, but in December, the first Monday in December, I'm going to start keto. And so I did. I started keto December the 3rd of 2018. And as of today, I am down 107 pounds utilizing keto as the tool to get that weight off.
We're going to talk about keto in just a couple of minutes. But before we get to that, that had to be at that point in your life when you were up to 275, most of us understand real well pregnancy weight gain. All of us that's had babies pretty much did that. We always think it's going to come off at some point, though, and it doesn't. What catapulted you to gain more weight? Was it at that point where you found that you were ill?
I'm sorry?
Was it at that point that you overcame diabetes in this journey, correct?
Well, I was pre-diabetic, so yes, went to the doctor. Found out that I was pre-diabetic and pre-hypertensive. My numbers started fluctuating out of control, and since diabetes sadly runs in my family, my mom is diabetic on insulin, my dad is diabetic on insulin, I knew that if I stayed the course with keeping the weight on, that was the road I was headed down as well.
Mm-hmm. So besides Tim, that was your biggest motivation, is that you wanted to be sure that you got yourself at a real healthy point and with the goal of living out your days in better health. I'd like to ask a question that I don't hear a lot of people ask, and I'm sure you don't mind speaking to this. When you're at a weight that at a point of 275, and I'm only asking this question because one of the things I like doing with guests is providing some revelations for people who may be struggling in those same areas and really don't know exactly how to grab hold of the right message or the right motivation to get themselves going in the direction that you just took. And that is, what were you feeling? What were you feeling at that point emotionally? How did it feel physically? What made, besides the fact that you were pre-diabetic, what kind of things were you feeling emotionally?
Well, to be totally transparent with you, Silver Ray Fox, I used to plan my funeral in my head. I used to plan my funeral and see people and my family in the audience, and I would see the picture that they would have up beside my casket, because I would go to sleep at night with heart pains, and I would not have gone to the doctor, not have told anybody in my family, just would go to sleep in pain and just say, God, please let me wake up in the morning. So to say that I was, it was a life and death situation is really putting it lightly, because although I was not aware that I was pre-diabetic at that time or that I was pre-hypertensive, I felt my body, I felt like I was going to die, because I was 275, so I was morbidly obese. I wasn't just obese. I was in the category of being morbidly obese. And I felt like 80 pounds was just astronomical to even embark upon trying to lose weight. So I used to discourage myself in my mind and say, how are you going to lose 80 pounds? You can't even lose 20. So when I saw Mr. Scott's transformation, and I asked him how he did it, and he told me what he used. And the thing about keto is you use food to get the weight off your body. So I like food. So I was like, oh, that's easy. I like food. You know, I'm not eating rice cakes. I'm not sitting around eating carrots. I'm not sitting around drinking a shake every day. I can actually eat bacon, cheese, eggs. I can eat a steak. I can eat broccoli with cheese. I can eat all these foods, and I can lose weight at the same time. Well, this is the ticket for me. So how I felt emotionally was that, number one, although I was a very positive and motivational person, I was defeating myself in my mind by thinking that I could not overcome 80 pounds. And here it is today, I'm actually 107 pounds down. And so I thank God, first of all, because he gave me the mindset to embrace this change and to go forward and to lose the weight.
Mm-hmm. I wanted you to share that because I had the thought that there probably was a type of defeated attitude that a person could experience at that point in life. And I particularly wanted you to say it because I wanted them to understand that you came from a place that wasn't like, oh, yeah, I need to, you know, lose weight. You came from a place that was a hard place of overcoming what you needed to get where you are. And the great thing is that you did it. You did it. And that's a critical thing for people to understand. It's kind of normal. It's a bad normal to feel that bad about yourself and to feel, mm-hmm. you know, that there's no room to move or grow or change. But it's necessary for people to understand that's your pivot right there. That's a point where you can turn things around. It doesn't mean that it really is going to shake out, that you'll never do anything or never lose the weight or never get healthier. It's a pivot. It's a point that says, it's an alarm, an alert that says, yes, you can. And fortunately, you were able to do that, and that's very exciting. And you were going to say something. I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to say that what you're saying is exactly right. It has to be a person, in order to be successful with most anything in life, you have to have a made-up mind. And I turned 50. I failed to mention that I turned 50 that year as well in 2018. And at that turning point, I said to myself, what are you going to do? You're 25 pounds shy of 300, and you're going in the wrong direction. And you need to make a change, because if you want to be here to see your children's children, you need to make a change, because at the weight you are now, you're pre-exposed to diabetes, not just pre-diabetes, but diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, certain cancers come if you're morbidly obese. So I knew that the direction I was headed in was a direction of death, and I speak life. That I speak life to people all the time and into people, and I always share with people about different herbs and different things to help their bodies. But God spoke to me and said, physician, heal thyself, because I was going down the wrong path. So, yes, you're exactly right. It was 28 years that I was morbidly obese, and it was time for a change. And I know that not just hitting 50, but just knowing that the path that I was headed on was a path toward death and not life, spurred me to make this change as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about your diet now. We're going to talk about keto, because it sounds very much like you are totally sold on it, and it's how you're keeping up your success. So let's tell people about what keto is. It's been, flying through the atmosphere for probably a couple of years now, strong. It's been around for a while, but it's gained in popularity in the last year or two across internet vibes. So why don't you share with people what that is and how it actually worked for you?
Okay. Well, keto is short for ketosis. And what ketosis is a process that your body goes through when your body starts utilizing your stored fat for fuel opposed to carbs. So with the keto diet, we utilize high fat, moderate protein, and low to no carbs. And when I say low to no carbs, I mean we generally stay between 20 to 50 carbs per day on average. I utilize 20 carbs per day because I had that as my goal, because I said, well, if I aim for 20 carbs per day and I go over and I hit 30, I'm okay. But I didn't want to aim for 50 and then hit 70. So I always aim to only use 20 carbs per day. And so I'll give you a day in the life of my keto lifestyle. When I first began keto, I would eat cheese, eggs, and bacon for breakfast. If I wanted a snack, I would snack on healthy nuts like pecans or walnuts. Drink plenty of water, at least 8 to 12 8-ounce glasses of water per day. For lunch, I would have a chef salad, which included eggs, bacon, broccoli, ham, cheese, all the fixings, and just no croutons because we don't eat starches like bread and potatoes, yams. We don't eat those or rice, and so and also no refined sugar. For dinner, I would have cheese with broccoli. I would say a steak or chicken grilled. You can fry chicken, but you have to use almond flour because we don't use white flour or cornmeal. And we also can make keto cornbread, keto muffins, but you just utilize a different type of flour. Instead of white flour, you use almond flour or coconut flour. So that would be a typical day in my breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Let me ask you this, because I know this is one of the greatest challenges for anybody trying to lose weight, whether they are 5 or 10 pounds overweight or you know, 100. How hard was it for you to change your eating habits to do that? I imagine, and again, I like to keep it real. What were your days like that you wanted to cheat? And what were your days like when, you know, you just it felt like it wasn't maybe going as well as you would, and you weren't liking eating in a way what may have felt boring initially?
Well, actually, Silver Ray Fox, I never got bored with it because there's so many different foods that we can eat with keto. Like on days when I wanted to, I can't honestly say I wanted to cheat. And the reason why is this. My mentor told me from the beginning, whatever you do, Karen, do not cheat because you're going to be cheating yourself. That stuck with me because I realized on every plan I tried previously that failed, I cheated. And so, and a lot of times plans will have a built-in cheat day. Oh, you could cheat this weekend, or, oh, just build in a cheat day once a week so you won't fall off the program. Well, my goal and motivation was I don't want to cheat because I want to be successful. And so I didn't. I didn't cheat on keto. I didn't sneak in the French fries. I didn't eat a piece of cake. I didn't eat cookies. I ate what was keto. And so when I found out that we could make a thing called a keto cookie, I made those. When I found out that I could have a keto chocolate shake, I made a keto chocolate shake. And so what happens is you replace. And what I try to get people to understand with keto is that keto is big on substitution. So whereas we don't have a chocolate chip cookie out the store, you can go home and get your almond flour, get your egg, get your monk fruit sweetener, and you can make your own keto cookies at home. And making stuff at home is better anyway. Why? Because you control the ingredients. Because there's a lot of heavy salts and sugars and artificial ingredients and all types of things in the food that we just buy out the store. Whereas if you make your own, you know exactly what you're eating. So, I mean, being able to go and get hot wings and blue cheese with celery, hey, I'm winning. So
yes,
I really didn't get bored. And so people, and yes, I do understand that people get tempted to cheat, and I understand that people do cheat. But what I tell them is that when you cheat, you're cheating yourself, and then you're delaying your progress. Because I went from a size 18-20 to a size 4. My goal wasn't to get to a size 4. However, that's what keto did for my body. And so now I'm a size 4, and I never visualized that because at my lowest, I was 9'10", and that's before I got pregnant with my son in 91. So now to be a size 4, but to be healthy and to have this energy is amazing. So that's another thing that helped me not to cheat as well, because I started seeing the results almost immediately. I lost 20 pounds in my first month. So I went from December 3rd to January 3rd, lost 20 pounds, and then the weight continued to come off after that. So that was exciting. So that just made me say, don't cheat.
Well, you know what, Karen, you look absolutely fabulous. That's for sure. No one would ever guess that you were at a weight at a high weight like that. I'd like for people to know, you look extremely healthy and toned. Is that all from following an exercise regimen too?
No, ma'am, and I'm sorry, I did fail to mention that with keto, we utilize IF, and IF stands for intermittent fasting. So I fast a lot. So normally, I wouldn't eat my first meal to noon. So I would fast from, and so fasting, and when you sleep at night, that time is included in your fasting. So usually I would do a 16-8. And what that is I would have a 16 hours that I did not eat. So I would fast for 16 hours, and then I would have that 8-hour eating window. So I would eat between 12 noon and 8 p.m., and then after that, I wouldn't eat. So what happens when you fast is your body starts to go through a process called autophagy. And what autophagy means is body eat thyself. So any loose skin that would normally hang from people who lose a lot of weight in a short period of time, it doesn't have, you don't get that look because your body is eating those cells and eating that loose skin for fuel. So you won't have that loose and hanging skin because your body isn't in essence eating that. And not only does it eat that those cells, but it also eats damaged, bad, precancerous cells or cells that are old and need to be done away with. Your body eats those first because one thing about our body is so amazing, it will utilize what it needs to in order to get what it needs, which is the fuel. And so one of the processes of ketosis is that your body is eating your stored fat for fuel, because when we have too much insulin in our bloodstream, insulin stores fat. But when you fast, your body says, I have to have fuel. You're not giving me carbs. So what I'm going to do is eat the fat that's already on your body. That's why keto is so successful, because your body starts eating that fat for fuel.
Boy, that's an amazing thing. I did not know that you could lose large amounts of weight and not have the, you know, the saggy skin. I guess I've watched the extreme weight loss program too many times where the people have the, you know, the surgeries following their weight loss. Is that okay though? I mean, is that something in some cases where that's necessary? Because certainly I don't even know if it's safe. Why don't you speak to that for us?
Honestly, I'm not a fan of gastric bypass. I'm not a fan of the sleeve. I'm not a fan of people losing weight and having the hanging skin, because that definitely signifies to me that they lost the weight the wrong way. Because when you lose the weight the correct way, your body will indeed eat those cells that would contribute to the hanging skin, and you won't have that look. Now, I did walk, but I did not walk consistently. I can't say, oh, I walked 3 times a week for three miles each time. That would be incorrect. That's not true. I was not part of the gym. I did not go to the gym. I did recently join in December of last year, December 2019. So I've just recently started going to the gym, and I must say I've only gone like 3 times. So it's not anything. If I look a little toned, it's simply because of the fact that our bodies are amazing, and when your body starts utilizing that fat for fuel, it will pull it in and during that process of autophagy. So no, I'm not a fan of people losing weight using those surgeries, because it's not necessary. If you can discipline yourself to go ahead and utilize food as your tool to lose weight, it would definitely work for you. If it worked for me, it can work for anybody.
Well, that's amazing, and I love that you shared that with us. I've learned some things that I am going to utilize. I'm not a full keto, but I do a lot of the intermittent fasting, and so I think there are a few changes I'm going to make in my diet. I don't eat a lot of sweets, but I do like them occasionally, a couple of times a week at least. But there are some things. You got me absolutely sold on the whole theory, though. I think I might put more of it into effect than I have been. So thank you so much for sharing. Is there anything, we're about to wrap, is there anything that you'd like to make sure people take away from the conversation we've had today?
Yeah, definitely. Currently, in America, there's 30.3 million Americans that have diabetes. That's nearly 1 in 10. And also, there's 84.1 million American adults who have prediabetes, and 90% don't even know they have it. So my purpose for saying that is this. I think this is at epidemic proportions, and America, we're obese because our portions are too large. We eat too much. We eat too many sweets, too much sugar, and it can be to our demise if we don't change our eating habits and change them now. Because with proportions like this and this many Americans, and it also goes down to the children as well. There's children who are pre-diabetic as well because of the lack of exercise and the lack of eating the right food and not understanding what's going on with their bodies. Sadly, pre-diabetes is a precursor to heart disease, cancers, and stroke as well. And so what I want to get across to people is go ahead and take authority over your health. Go ahead and make up your mind to do the right thing as far as your eating is concerned so that you won't be predisposed to these things, because God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly, and we can't have abundant life if we're sickly.
That is absolutely true. Well, it has been a great time talking with you, and I appreciate everything that you shared, and your enthusiasm certainly is motivating. And I think there's information that you talked about this diet that is really, I think, going to be helpful to many, many people. All the foods you can eat, and particularly the body changes that can happen with very little exercise effort. Not everybody loves to do that, and it sounds like you are able to accomplish what you did with minimal effort in that way. But I do thank you for sharing, and I will make sure people know that you are at www.ketocoachkaren.com, that they can get more information from you about the diet and perhaps reach out to you for further contact as well. So again, thank you, and I hope you have an amazing day. Appreciate you being my special guest.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you as well.
All right. Take care now. And I want to thank all of you as well for joining in today and listening. Boy, wasn't that something. I hope you learned some key things as I did today. We all want to strive to live our healthy best, and there were certainly a lot of tips there to help us get there. Please tell your friends about Foxology. I do random shows. I don't have myself locked down to any particular day. Sometimes I'm just accommodating the people when they're available to talk with me, but it's always some great conversation. I can guarantee you that. So I want you to stay hooked in and tuned in and listening in for what I'll be talking about. Another show coming up on Monday with my special guest, Cassandra McShepherd. We do Master Your Mindset Monday, and that's what's going to happen on Monday the 3rd. So I hope you'll be with me then as well. Watch for details on social media for that. In the meantime, I hope you have just the most awesome, amazing day. Be good, be blessed, be awesome.